Shalom, everyone. The Houthi rebels have sent an ICBM missile toward Israel. This one contained cluster bombs. Israel retaliated. The IDF also struck the Nasser hospital down in Khan Yunis in southern Gaza, killing some 20 rescuers and some journalists. The Trump administration held a comprehensive meeting at the White House this Wednesday concerning all of Gaza with many U.S. leaders. And there's worldwide anti-Israel attacks are definitely on the increase. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, August 29th of the year 2025. And here's the news for the week. So the Houthis decided to launch another ICBM missile out of Yemen. They've been doing that over the last couple of weeks, one or two of them coming across. They continue to be shot down. Israel shot this one down again. However, this one was different. It contained cluster bombs. So let me explain cluster bombs to you a little bit. These are considered illegal on the international scale. It is an anti-personnel weapon. There are dozens of cluster bombs inside of a cluster bomb. They fall down to the earth. They cover a wide area. They're anti-personnel. Some of them go off when they hit. Some of them don't go off when they hit. They lay on the ground until someone comes near to them, and then they go off. Again, illegally on the international scale. Israel decided to retaliate this time. They're tired of that being launched at them each week, and that particular weapon kind of crossed the line. So Israel went down with aircraft and seaborne ships and hit the presidential palace, the port facilities, and targeted the leaders of the Houthis in the course of hitting the presidential palace. Reports are now coming back that the prime minister of the Houthis was killed. They also were targeting the IDF chief and the defense minister. We're not sure if they got them, but supposedly they were at the area when it was hit. So we're looking for additional reports that the Israelis may have taken out the entire leadership of the Houthi rebels in one shot. Again, this is the tactic of Israel to take out the leadership of their enemies, and it's one way they call it cutting the head off of the snake. Sadly, this week, down in Khan Yunis, there's a hospital down there, Nasser Hospital. Hamas decided to affix a camera up on the top part of the building. As you know, Hamas likes to position Hamas forces in and around civilian facilities like hospitals, like schools. Well, they put a camera up there, and it was clearly for intelligence gathering for Hamas. Israel saw it, and so they decided that they need to go over and take care of the camera. So they sent a drone in to destroy the camera, but in the course of them going in, the drone was able to see, apparently, the scope of a sniper rifle, and there was an immediate threat against IDF forces, and they called in for a strike on that location. And the Israeli tank fired two shells at the area, and they did explode, and after a little bit, the dust cleared and debris finally came down. And again, they observed gunmen with weapons. So they fired again into it. Well, the difference between the first shooting and the second shooting, rescuers apparently had gone into the area to recover some of the bodies that were there. And there was a journalist that was involved, and they got hit by the shots from the tank that came from it. Immediately, there was an outcry. 20 supposed rescuers and journalists killed by the Israeli at a hospital down in Khan Yunis. Israel immediately apologized and said they would immediately begin to investigate. And here's one of the problems of when you integrate military forces in with the civilian population, you're going to have collateral damage. However, on further examination and further investigation, six of the 20 people that were killed were Hamas operatives. So they were intermingled with the whole group. And this is what happens when Hamas integrates themselves with other civilians, and civilians don't seem to understand if you're standing next to a Hamas operative and he starts shooting at Israelis, you can expect the fire to come back at them. This last Wednesday, Trump, and with anticipation, announced that on Wednesday he was going to hold a big White House meeting. It was going to be a comprehensive review of everything going on in Gaza, the whole U.S. position with regard to helping Israel. And so earlier in the week, in leading up to the meeting, President Trump had talked about that he thought the Gaza situation was going to be resolved in 2 to 3 weeks. So there was great anticipation for what's going to happen at this Wednesday meeting. At the Wednesday meeting, the results kind of came trickling back out. And the president then, in the conclusion of that meeting, apparently said one way or another, the Gaza situation is certainly going to be over before the end of the year. So we've gone from 2 to 3 weeks to before the end of the year. And we're still several months away from the end of the year. Other reports said it was a very large meeting and that they all agreed there would be no partial hostage deal. It's get all hostages back, get the war over with. Supposedly, they also talked about the post-war plan. Who's going to run Gaza after Hamas is not there? Is it going to be the Arabs? Are they going to move the Palestinian people out of the area? Is the U.S. going to be involved or not? Is Israel going to have a military oversight for it? What's going to be happening? They reviewed all the options. Nothing has changed. It's just Trump's optimism to try to get the war over with. And in fact, one person who attended the meeting said it was a simple policy session. So all the anticipation that something significant was going to come out of this White House meeting turned out to be just a review of what's going on. Same information that I share with you on a weekly basis. In Gaza, evacuations are underway from Gaza City, trying to get the civilians out of there further south. And attacks are beginning on the outskirts of the Gaza City. Israel this time, as opposed to last time, is going in and basically decimating every possible structure that Hamas can use as a staging or an attack area against the IDF. They're leveling it all, taking the ground away from Hamas as they go into the area of the city. Hostage families and protesters in Israel are afraid that the hostages are going to be killed because of this Gaza operation. And everybody is reminded of the fact that there's still 50 Israelis still remain in there. 20 of them are believed to be alive. 30 of them are dead. However, this morning we learned two bodies were rescued and brought back to Israel. So that means that there are 48 that still remain unaccounted for. One of those two bodies was Ilan Weiss. He was 55 years old. He was kidnapped from Kibbutz Be'eri. His wife and daughter were also kidnapped back October 7th, and they were some of the first hostages released in the first hostage negotiations. There was great hope that he would make it back as well, but having discovered his body, they learned that he was killed a long time ago. Anti-Semitic attacks worldwide have increased in every nation. There are constant news reports daily now, literally everywhere in the world, of Jewish people being attacked, Jewish institutions, Israelis being railed against by different nations and organizations. And every one of these attacks support Hamas. Hamas hears about all of these attacks and all that's going on, and they think they're winning. They think if they can just hang on that the world is cheering for them to do it. Now, if that be so, and by the way, that is what it is, it turns out that all these other nations have decided to fundamentally that Israel and the Jews do not have the right to exist in this world anymore. Israel is a sovereign nation, and yet they're denying Israel the rights of any other sovereign nation. And they're denying the Jewish people wherever they're at in the world, despite the history of the Holocaust, despite anti-Semitic behavior is illegal in every nation, is still happening and increasing. There are attacks on all levels, even going on in Israel. And even Israelis are getting concerned about this. The entire affair of the attacks going against Israel and the Jews is completely out of balance. By that, what I mean is we have wars and famines and all kinds of harm going on all over the world in a multitude of nations, and yet the issue of Israel and the Jewish people is at the forefront for all of the world to complain about, despite the fact that we have dictators and tyrants in other nations. Take, for example, Putin and the number of people, the thousands of Ukrainians he has killed, yet he falls to the back burner, and Israel and the Jewish people is more important to the rest of the world. The attacks that are coming in on Israel, the rationale for these attacks, are based on falsehoods and propaganda. The news media intentionally distorts every news story to make it bad for Israel to further inflame people around the world. Take the case of the Nasser Hospital. Six of those Hamas operatives of the 20 were right in there in the midst of it. Israel was justified in shooting at them. Hamas should not have set up operations at the hospital. That's a war crime. Why isn't anybody complaining about Hamas committing war crimes? Instead, they're cheering Hamas and supporting Hamas. It's madness. Here in the U.S., this week we saw some of that madness take shape amongst us. In Minnesota, a transgender young man who claimed to be a girl decided to go to the Catholic Church school that he had even attended, and he barricaded the door and he shot through the stained glass windows, killing two children, hurting 17 others, five of them critically wounded, while the students were in the church school praying. It wasn't the first that has happened, and it won't be the last of these kinds of mass attacks. But of course, it begs the question, why is this happening? Some are arguing, well, it's too many guns in America. Some are saying, no, it's mental health services. Some are even boldly finally coming out and say, you know, these trans kids, they're all suicidal. They're deranged and disturbed, and it's evident by them being affirmed to be trans kids. And this isn't the first one that has done this. I have an answer for you about what the motivation is. It's evil. The same evil that's coming against Israel all over the world. Now, for some of you, it may be a bridge too far for you to believe that, but not for me. See, my problem is that I understand that God created this whole place, and we're all here on the same planet. And there's a spiritual battle taking place in the world. One of the questions being raised this week concerning the shooting was the effectiveness of prayer. In fact, the mayor of the town there said that prayer wasn't doing anything. And others are bringing the subject up on a national level, talking about. They're saying the prayer doesn't work. There's no value in it. And essentially, they're attacking people of faith in the midst of these children being harmed, Christian children being harmed. Let me just go ahead and just share with you some hard facts. When you walk away from God, you choose darkness. It leads to death. The Bible states it over and over again, and we have 6,000 years of biblical history of men who have done that. When you decide to replace his rules with your rules, and you decide to be God instead of him, it leads to curses, and things don't work out well for you. A lot of you are probably asking, how could God possibly permit all of this harm that's going on in the world, these wars and all this kind of harm that's happening to innocent people? I know this is going to be hard for you to hear, but you know, we as human beings, we chose this path. We chose the path not to follow God. We decided to do our own thing. And all of a sudden, we've come out from under God's protection, and we're now suffering the consequences. We definitely need to pray. We need to pray the prayer of repentance. And yes, we need to pray for all the families that have been harmed, that they'll be comforted somehow by the incredible work of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask you to continue to pray. Pray for Israel. Pray for all the innocents that are being harmed. Pray for the families that are suffering. greatly, not only in Israel, but here in our own country. Pray for us. Pray for you. Thank you for viewing this program. Remember to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And for more content and no commercial interruptions, subscribe to lionandlamb.tv. Our weekly programs are available on your favorite podcast platforms. We have another issue of a free Yavo magazine come out just this month. You can get it in digital or hard copy format. Just contact the ministry and request it. Our weekly programs are on all your social media platforms. The fall holidays are coming up here in September. Hope you enjoy your Labor Day weekend, and while you're doing that, maybe think about registering for Feast of Tabernacles and join us in Oklahoma in early October, a month away, for the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a time of great joy. In fact, the Bible calls it the season of joy. We'd love to have you come join us and worship together there at the Feast of Tabernacles. Shabbat Shalom to all of you.